The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. I said it an hour ago, I will say it again. We don't apologize for wins. Packers got the victory 24-19 over the Rams on the road without Christian Watson, without Jair Alexander and several other players, without Romeo Doubs, who we just discussed here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. If you missed any of that conversation, you could find it on Wisconsin On Demand. I'm sure we will discuss it with Chewy tomorrow as well when he is back in the chair. But we did talk about his perspective on players and egos and whatnot. So, again, if you missed any of it, find it on Wisconsin On Demand. I am optimistic. I think a win is a win. And, yes, there were things the Packers could have done better. And I think they will continue to grow and learn and evolve from those things to the tune of a playoff run. This is a playoff team. Nothing they did yesterday or didn't do yesterday changes my opinion on that. Gabe is a little more cautious. There are things they did yesterday that make your eyebrows go up, Gabe. There are things that they did yesterday that make you question whether or not this is one of the best teams in the league.
I mean, right now, they're not one of the best teams in the league. I think that's painfully obvious. Do I think Jordan Love can continue to grow? Yeah, because we knew going in that there were some things that he was going to have to continue to grow. Five interceptions in the three games he played, not great. Need to clean that up, certainly, as he had another just inexplicable one yesterday. But for me, it comes down to more of the front seven. Because if you want to be a championship squad, you've got to get more out of that front seven. Especially once Jair gets back and the way Xavier McKinney's playing. And then we saw Bullard drop down, play more slot, get Evan Williams. I mean, they have options in the secondary. They've got options, which is great.
I do feel like we have not given enough credit today, specifically, to Xavier McKinney.
You and I
both think that he is the, for lack of a better term, X factor on this Packers team. When asked who has been the most important player for the Green Bay Packers besides Jordan Love, you and I both said it's been Xavier McKinney. The attitude that he has brought to that secondary, the idea of taking the ball away and making these big plays, it feels like it has sort of spread to the other playmakers, to the other guys out there, Gabe. And so I don't know what the stat is. I think it was like 5-5 or something that had never been done since like Charles Woodson. You probably have it in front of you over there.
I don't.
But the point is, for all the conversations we've had, we've been now talking about the Green Bay Packers game yesterday for an hour and 12 minutes approximately, and we are now just getting to the significance and the impact that Xavier McKinney has had on that defensive back group.
Can the Packers defense be this mediocre and Xavier McKinney still be the defensive player of the year?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Yes, yes.
Because the rest of the defense, again, everything in front of him is not great. And I don't know if the defensive player of the year can come from a defense like that, but I mean, he continues. I mean, I don't think he's going to have 17 interceptions, although that would be sick. I mean, the way he's playing, the impact that he's having, because he had a really good fumble recovery and return yesterday on top of the interception that he had 5-5 games. Like, Xavier McKinney is playing like a defensive player of the year candidate. Saving a lot of the other defense. I just don't know what to do with the front four. I don't know if there's anything they can do for the front four.
Well, I've had a few people on the ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line say, can they go out and get a guy? Can they go out and get somebody who could elevate the pass rush, who could elevate the defensive line?
Maybe. I mean, the only time we've really seen that in season is when the Washington Commanders kind of inexplicably held a fire sale last year before the trade deadline, traded away a lot of their talent that they did not want to pay. I mean, typically, that's what you have to run into. You have to run into a situation where there is a talented pass rusher that the team that currently has him does not want to pay him. We saw it with Hassan Reddick this offseason going from the Eagles to the Jets. We saw it, as I mentioned last year, with a couple of different members of Washington. Sweat ends up going from Washington to Chicago. They pay him right away, and he's had an impact there. So that's what you have to hope for, that somebody's coming up on a deal. They don't want to pay that guy, and maybe they end up trading him to get something at the deadline. That's the only way you can get something done.
Excuse me for being maybe a little blunt here. I don't think you even need top end. I think if you're bringing in average to above average, You're improving your pass rush. And maybe you can mix and match guys to create enough pressure, things along that line. Like, it is that bad. The Packers are 32nd in pass rush win rate. 30th in run stop.
That's what I was going to ask. I was going to say, and where are they against the run?
Yeah, yes, very bad. 32
and they haven't added more teams. This isn't like college football where there's now like 120 teams and ranking 32nd is not bad.
Quick run down the numbers here. Nope, still 32.
Okay, damn it. I was hoping. You know, maybe they added some teams to the league and I just wasn't aware.
Where would you even add teams? Just out of curiosity, are there cities out there where you're going, they are starving?
I mean, Chicago could get a second one, you know, kind of do some of these other things.
Oklahoma City.
Yeah, exactly. You know, maybe Portland gets one. Yeah.
Montana, they've been craving a protein
exactly.
for a while.
Yeah, you know, something, you know, get a stadium right outside, you know, like the, you know, Mount Rushmore or something in the Dakotas.
Right now, Green Bay is defensively middle of the pack. You mentioned that they are very bad in those categories, which is fair, but they're very good in the takeaways, which elevates them to about middle of the pack in the league. And the good news about takeaways, of course, is that it gives Jordan Love and the offense more opportunity to make plays, to put up points, to put them in a better position to win games. I'm not going to ever scoff at the takeaways, but to your point, it would be nice if it was more balanced. It would be nice if that front four was getting pressure and putting them in a better position to succeed.
The problem about takeaways is you can't always rely upon them. So when you're playing the better teams that take care of the football better, then you need to have your defensive line, your linebacker step up and be able to make plays, get off the field on third down instead of relying on Xavier McKinney literally doing things that Matt LaFleur said he's never seen before. Which is, I mean...
And it's not just Matt LaFleur.
I mean, keep doing those things, Xavier. Keep doing things that your head coach has never seen before. I'm always happy when you do those things. But he's been a great eraser for this defense, without a doubt.
With Xavier McKinney at 5 interceptions through 5 games, obviously that's not going to be 17 interceptions in 17 games, even though we've seen no evidence that that won't be the case. What do we set
than nobody's ever done it in league history before?
What do we set his over-under at for season interceptions? Because he's at 5. It feels like I said the number 9.5.
So the Packers record is 10.
By who?
Somebody in the 40s.
Oh, okay.
Woodson, there's a bunch of guys. I think Woodson had 9 in his Defensive Player of the Year season. There's a bunch of guys that have had 9. 11? Is 11 too greedy? Set the record?
Woodson had 9 interceptions, 3 pick sixes, 18 passes defensed, 4 forced fumbles, 1 fumble recovery, 2 sacks, and a partridge in a pear tree in 2009 when he won Defensive Player of the Year.
The touchdowns are the thing that are going to have to come for him to win Defensive Player of the Year, even if he keeps racking up
interceptions. That's the tough part for DBs. Yeah. I mean, if he has 17 interceptions and doesn't win the Defensive Player, we're on the same page there. Yes. He has an interception in every game, he gets deep points.
If he sets the NFL record, I think he's safe at that.
Okay.
How about what the hell was the Giants doing? Why was he just available and out there? But that is...
I don't know if you paid attention to the offseason Hard Knocks, Josh, but...
It feels like...
When you're a dumpster fire of an organization, you make bad decisions.
It feels like... Xavier McKinney was just smacking him over the head with, this is a guy you want on your team. He was a team captain at like 24 years old. The guy is super productive. And I'm not taking away from the fact that Jeff Hafley found the perfect guy for the system he wants to run. Like, this is the ideal Xavier McKinney's place. But even then, less than ideal, he's that good. He is a game changer for an entire team.
You had to save all that money, Josh. To give it to Saquon Barkley, who you didn't give it to anyway. Just let him walk away.
It's baffling.
I'm glad they made that and bungled that.
I guess I wonder, with the people asking if they can do anything to improve the pass rush, if you would be in favor of them going out and getting somebody. I know we talked about how teams do not separate from, they do not make the mistake that the Giants did, which is to say, oh, we got a really, really good player, maybe generational player here. Let's just let him go test the free agency situation.
I mean, maybe you play Angabarem a little bit more. It's just so tough because who are you taking? Are you taking Rashawn Gary off the field? You want to talk about having tough conversations. I mean, especially because they continuously try to tell everybody that he is going to have an impact. Obviously, the front office decided to pay him all that money. The tough part of, okay, who are you taking off the field? Because Preston Smith has been solid. He's been fine. But even when you put Lucas Van Ness, who you've put a first round pick in. He hasn't really done a ton. Angabare's probably been the best edge rusher that they've had through five games. They would have to have a tough conversation with one of the guys they currently have. I would be certainly in favor of upgrading that position if you can. If you can find a way to upgrade that position. But it probably includes taking Rashawn Gary off the field more than they want to right now.
As of last game, he played 63% of snaps. Van Ness, 54. Smith, 50. And Igbare, 36. It feels like the right move is JJ to get more snaps there. He's only getting 36%. And Gary might just become like a full rotational until he proves he can do more. You're getting 50%, and we're giving Kingsley some of those snaps. That's just how it has to go.
We're going to put that on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll this morning. Would you be in favor of upgrading at that position, whether that is internally, Gabe, or whether that is externally? Go ahead and weigh in on that. We got to take a break. Don't forget, we have Rob Domofsky coming up at the bottom of the hour. We'll ask him about all things related to the Green Bay Packers, including the Romeo Doubs situation. That's coming up after this.
It doesn't matter what age you are. Low testosterone can be an issue with any guy. That's where Mentality comes in. Local healthcare facilities specifically dedicated to helping men feel and perform at their very best if you have low testosterone. Like I did. Maybe you're tired, groggy, just don't feel like yourself. Don't have that energy to attack your day the way you did a year or two ago. Those could all be signs of low testosterone. To figure out if it is, go to lowtusa.com, book your appointment, go through the process with Mentality. And if you do have low testosterone, then you can start working with Mentality again, like I did. They can get your levels right where they need to be so you can compete at work and sports like you did years ago. Go to lowtusa.com. Mentality allows treatment to fit into every guy's lifestyle. Learn more about Mentality and their low testosterone treatments at lowtusa.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Jen, has college football gotten a little sleazy where you can recruit a little? No, I'm saying from the standpoint, it used to be.
That was good.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Here's Love. Wide open. He's got Kraft. His tight end's running with a stiff arm. Kraft's going the distance. Tucker Kraft. He plays the game the way it was meant to be played, with an edge, said his head coach, and you saw it right there.
Second season for Tucker Kraft, and man, is he making a name for himself in what has widely been considered a down year for the tight end position. Mostly from a fantasy standpoint, right? That's why we're so concerned about the tight end production. Tucker Kraft has been coming to play. And this, to me, Gabe, is an evolution, right? You weren't sure. Smaller school, although, again, there are stories out there about how he turned down offers from big-time programs. I'll tell you this. Next time I'm at College Game Day this upcoming weekend and I'm sitting in the makeup chair across from Coach Nick Saban, I'm going to ask him, why? What was it about him that you saw that made you want to make an offer to him? Well, he couldn't make the offer, but you know,
yeah.
Alabama want Tucker Kraft. I think we are seeing that now on Sundays. I'd be interested just in hearing his insight, what it was about him that they liked at that stage. Gabe, where do you see Tucker Kraft right now in the pantheon of the NFL and the tight end landscape? Where is Tucker Kraft for you right now?
Oh, he's a top five tight end. I don't know if that's deniable right now. His ball, his ability with the ball in his hands to be able to catch and run. We saw it with the 66-yard touchdown yesterday. His ability to be the inline blocker. And we knew that guys were going to separate themselves in that tight end room, in that wide receiver room, that they would clearly become a pecking order. And Luke Musgrave has been just left in the dust. Because even at his best last year, Luke Musgrave wasn't anywhere near this. Again, he couldn't really stay on his own 2 feet after he caught the ball. But I mean, Tucker Kraft, to go from somebody who was not, was barely in the tight end rotation a year ago, to grow into what he has now is an unbelievable story and has become a huge weapon for the Packers.
Nice little safety valve for Jordan Love. How do you become a safety valve for the quarterback? You catch the ball. You catch the ball with consistency. That's how you earn the quarterback's trust. To go back to the conversation we were having earlier about Dontavian Wicks, I don't want there to be a split second where the quarterback is going through his progressions and saying, ah, but that guy's not a sure thing. Tucker Kraft has proven himself to be a sure thing to the tune of 4 receptions, 5 targets, 88 yards, 2 touchdowns in the win over the Rams. Let's hear from Matt LaFleur on his tight end.
His work ethic. I mean, the guy, he loves ball. You know, he works nonstop. He's relentless. And he's got a great mindset. And the guy, that's all he does. He just shows up. He works. He gets better. I think it's been really cool to see him blossom. I think the more confidence he's gotten, the better he's done. He's just a tough-minded dude. And, like, it's been really cool to watch a guy and see the growth and development. I think John Dunn does a great job with those guys. But I think those guys within that tight end room all push each other.
The other thing, and I don't want it to be overlooked, when he says he loves ball, man, every coach I talk to, and Dan Lanning comes to mind most recently because I was in his living room about a month ago, and he was talking about the guys he recruits, why he's so good at recruiting. And his first standard is, Gabe, does he love ball? Because if you love it, you're going to put in the extra work required to elevate, to become one of the elite. And it sounds like that's who Tucker Kraft is. He is the guy who recognized he didn't like where he was in the pecking order last year. He wanted to be contributing more. And between then and now, he has put in the work to now be a trusted, reliable asset for this offense.
We've heard Chewy talk about it. Plenty of guys in the league who are talented enough but don't necessarily care and just get by with the talent and get the paycheck. There's a lot of guys in the league like that. A lot of guys have a lot of success, long careers like that. Tucker Kraft isn't one of those guys where he was, you know, a first-round can't-miss athletic talent, and for him to have to put in the work, the only way you put in that work is if you absolutely love it. And this is what you think you were meant to do, and this is what you have to do. And that's what you want to hear. I mean, again, it's just kind of that polar opposite of what we heard from Romeo Doubs.
So as he continues to evolve, and we got to get to break because I want to get to Rob Domofsky, and I will ask him this as well. Could we be looking at a situation where he is the number one target for Jordan Love? I mean, you looked around the league and you had guys like Gronk and you had guys like Travis Kelce and they became the quarterback's favorite target. Could we see an evolution of this offense where then Jaden Reed kind of slides into more of that slot receiver role? Is still a scary option, but Tucker Kraft becomes the number one. I wonder if he continues to grow at this rapid pace, if that's something you might see from this offense.
I still lean towards no. When you've got a guy getting open 80% of the time and making the pace that Jaden Reed does, those are still going to be probably your more targeted guys than your tight end.
Let's get to Rob Domofsky. We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Lots of stuff to talk to him about right after this.
Victory Monday is brought to you by Palermo's Pizza, Wisconsin's hometown pizza, with delicious brands like Palermo's, Connie's, Urban Pie, and Screamin' Sicilian. Palermo's has your game day covered. Find Palermo's in your local grocer's freezer.
We need a new intro for this year, though.
All right, we'll work on it.
Consider it done, Rob.
ESPN's number one source for green and gold information.
Look, I would suspect that we don't see Malik Willis throw the ball down the field a whole lot, especially early, but it would not surprise me if we got back to more of the quick West Coast stuff.
Our most musically inclined and bald guest.
I was overly harsh about Gabe's golf game because I played terrible yesterday.
It's Rob Domofsky.
This better be a great segment.
On Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
It's a great day to have Rob Domofsky joining the show. Lots of stuff to get to. How are you doing today, Rob?
I'm good, Jen. It's still dark here in Los Angeles, though.
You don't have to tell me.
I thought it would be light out when I thought about this time, but I guess not.
Yeah, so, I had a 4 a.m. local wake-up call on Saturday morning. It's very dark for a long time there out on the West Coast. Let's get to the Green Bay Packers. The sentiment here is mixed. I feel very optimistic about the Green Bay Packers, their ability to walk out of there on the road, down some of their key players with a win. I feel like they will continue to ascend. But Gabe is a little more suspect. He's a little more like, there were too many things that they need to improve, and he doesn't feel like those should be ignored. Where do you land this morning?
You know, probably somewhere in the middle, but I would say this. I think when you win a game that you didn't play necessarily great, it can be a sign of, you know, that you're just masking problems, or it can be a sign that you're good enough to win a game when you didn't play your best and that you will play better. I still think this football team is going to be pretty good. I'm not ready to, you know, I know they can't get pressure on the quarterback. I know their run defense at times still isn't very good. And I know offensively they haven't been you know, necessarily hitting on all cylinders, but I still think they're going to be a pretty good football team, and I think they're going to be a team that evolves, you know, as the season goes along. And look, let's face it. They, you know, yesterday they didn't have Romeo Doubs, who I guess I would have said the other day was either their first or second receiver. You know, they didn't have Christian Watson, who was either their second or third receiver. They didn't have Luke Musgrave. Now, maybe it doesn't matter anymore with the emergence of Tucker Kraft. But, you know, they were missing some guys. They didn't have Jair Alexander. I mean, those are, you know, those are guys who are really, really good football players that you didn't have and you still won a game. I realize you had to hang on at the end, but you still won a game on the road. You know, that's not easy to do.
You brought up Romeo Doubs. Let's dive into that. How surprised were you when you saw the Bill Huber report that the reason he missed practice Thursday and Friday was because he was unhappy with his role in the offense in the month of September?
Well, I mean, borderline shocked because, and I'm going to try to find the quote real quick, but this is the guy when we talked to him all offseason, and really with all these receivers, they all said, it doesn't matter who the number one receiver is. It doesn't matter. If this guy gets the ball more than I do, you know, we're all in it for each other. The quote gave from training camp was from Romeo Doubs. There's a lot of talent in our room. I think it's selfish on my end to have goals because if I come up short, I'm not thinking about the team. I'm thinking about myself. Okay. Like what changed from, I think that was about August 1st till this week. Like, that's what I'd really like to know. And we don't know. We still haven't talked to Romeo. You know, I asked Jaden Reed about it in the locker room, and he said that I talked to Romeo. You know, he's doing fine, but that's all he's going to say. I thought the really interesting quote, and we're kind of reading between the lines here, was Matt LaFleur saying, "I'm really looking forward to the conversation with Romeo tomorrow," meaning today, which tells me one thing. He hadn't had a conversation with him, right? Like, he didn't even talk to the guy. You know, I think – and Romeo's probably, in my opinion, getting some bad advice. I'm not sure this is the right way to go about it. John Anderson brought this up yesterday on the pregame show that he won, we started talking about, I think it was last Monday in Matt LaFleur's press conference. But remember that interception where it looked like Luke Musgrave was in the wrong place and you know, he was going to Doubs?
Yeah.
Well, Matt LaFleur explained to us last Monday that Romeo Doubs was in the wrong place. And is it possible that Romeo didn't like being called out in that Monday press conference last week? And that's sort of what started this whole thing rolling. I don't know that, but if it is, that's surprisingly thin skin.
Well, the other thing that... You got to turn on your microphone.
Did you think it was Romeo Doubs' fault, or did you think it was someone else's fault on that play?
Early when watching it, I think we all thought it was Musgrave's fault.
That's what I thought.
Because Jordan Love said, "I was going to Romeo Doubs," if I'm not mistaken. But Matt LaFleur laid it out clearly last Monday that the route was supposed to have gone a different way. Romeo was supposed to take it a different way.
So the other thing I found interesting yesterday with LaFleur talking about it is he started with, "Yeah, I can't wait for that conversation. We're going to be able to work this out." But then halfway through, he says, "I hope we work this out." Is this situation salvageable?
I think it is. You know, I don't think it's quite the same as the Jair Alexander thing, but I think that was salvaged. I will say this, like, I've covered this team a long time, Gabe, and these might be the first two in-season suspensions for disciplinary things that I've been around. Like, maybe that's just players are different now, but, you know, for 25 years, I've never seen anything like this, and now we have it twice in 2 years.
Do you think they work it out? Do they think you come together? Is he going to be practicing on Wednesday?
I would be stunned if he's not. I really would be. I think he works it out, but he's also going to have to regain, you know, the trust of guys. I mean, again, going back to my conversation with Jaden Reed yesterday, you know, I think Tom Silverstein and I were there talking to him, and Tom asked him, you know, did you guys kind of rally around this as a receiver group? And he said, absolutely. You know, those guys probably weren't happy about it. They probably wanted to show Romeo, "Oh, you want to sit out? Well, I'll have a good game, or we'll win the game." So not that Jaden was being, like, you know, anti-Romeo, but, you know, he's a prideful guy, and they want to show that they can do this without those guys, without him, without Christian Watson.
Rob Domofsky hanging out with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy here, as he does each and every Monday during the football season. We were talking about Tucker Kraft a few moments ago. What do you make of his ascension? I loved that Matt LaFleur said he loves the game. He loves football. That, to us, is like the difference maker. When you love it, you embrace the grind. You embrace what it takes to become a contributor, a productive member of the offense. What do you make of his ascension? And could he be, again, I said this to Gabe earlier, could he end up being the number one target by the end of the season for this team?
Well, I'll take the second part first. Right now, he's on pace for 54 catches. Jaden Reed's on pace for 71. So there's a big difference there. I do think the record, the single season record for tight ends by a Packer, or receptions by a Packers tight end, is 61. I do believe that's attainable. Actually, my story from the game last night that's up now on ESPN.com is all about Tucker Kraft. And I remember, I think I said it on Wilde's show a couple of weeks ago, I thought Tucker Kraft was a star in the making. And I say that both for his his production, but also his personality. Like, this guy's got a little bit of a, not saying he's going to be going out and partying in the like Gronkowski or anything, but he's got a little bit of that, sort of, hey, I know I'm pretty good. I'm a tough guy. Quiet confidence. Actually, not even that quiet. It's a confidence about himself. And, the lead of my story this morning is about, Tucker Kraft telling us a couple weeks ago, he's like, I have one rule, and that's never get tackled by a defensive back in the open field. Never. And on that touchdown yesterday, the 66-yarder, he stiff-armed 24 and then kind of just cast aside, I think it was 37. And to me, that's like Tucker Kraft's MO in a nutshell. And it may sound simplistic, tight end shouldn't get tackled by a DB, but there's a lot of them that get brought down by defensive backs, and Tucker Kraft is not going to be that guy. And I mean, just think about this. What, 6 years ago he was playing nine-man football in Timberlake, South Dakota, and now he's potentially a star, an NFL star in the making. I do think, though, Jen, that if he keeps this up, he really will be one of those nationally known star tight ends, because he's got his press conferences, his sessions with us are he's not like bombastic or anything, but he says things that make you go, okay, this guy's confident in himself, and he's got some personality.
Rob, what's up with these Favre-esque interceptions?
Ooh, that is a great way to describe that sidearm thing. Try to remember, Gabe, did Rodgers, I know he didn't do much of that, when he got to be established, but did he have any of those goofy ones early on? I don't think he did, because I remember him, specifically saying, I learned the good from Brett and I learned what not to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, between, his last two interceptions, Rob, between just chucking it up in the end zone in the second half last week, mm-hmm. and now this one, I mean, those are more Favre than Rodgers.
Yeah. And especially, I go back to the one last week. I mean, they had downs to play with.
Yeah.
Right? After that one. That's the one. And, look, I understand, he probably felt like he was going to get shoved out of the end zone and didn't want to take a safety, right? That's probably what his thinking. You don't want to be the quarterback that goes out of the back of the end zone. Not like – this wasn't like Dan Orlovsky just stepping out of the back of the end zone. I love Dan, but – you don't want to be that quarterback that just goes out of the back of the end zone and gives up 2 points. But it turns out that, that would have been better than the six. That would have been a 4-point one for the good side had that happened. So I get why, he tried the throw, but it's not the throw. It's not the way to do it.
Rob, we appreciate you hanging out with us today. Have a great one, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, guys. We'll see you next week.
Safe travels, sir. He's Rob Domofsky. You can, of course, hear him on ESPN, ESPN Milwaukee. Did Rob get his Twitter back? Are you still locked out?
He's still locked out. Probably should have asked Rob about that. Is he still there? Or is he gone?
No, he's gone. I heard him talk about it yesterday, and I haven't seen him tweet since. So
yeah.
Imagine not much has changed.
The last tweet is from September 26th.
Well, he's taking a sabbatical. You've heard me talk about Professional Construction Inc. over the years. We have enjoyed having them help us with our home projects. As you might know, we're not the most handy people. So when something is out over our skis, We call our friends at PCI. Mike and Michelle operate a family-owned company. They believe in building relationships and doing exceptional work on your home projects. Congrats to PCI for celebrating their 20th anniversary this summer. You can learn more about their operation by going to their website. It's professionalconstructioninc.com. PCI is at professionalconstructioninc.com. And tell them Jen from Jen, Gabe, and Chewy sent you.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
How much will Angie let you grow a beard?
I would say for 3 months I have to keep a beard. Beard if I lose.
Okay, and Angie would allow you to have a beard for 3 months.
She doesn't run my life. Drop that.
Yeah.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go.
Is there anything better than football and pizza? Yeah, just kick back. Watch the game on Sunday or Saturday. Just make sure you've got it with a Palermo's pizza and keep your freezer stocked. This, depending upon, you know, the flavor of pizza that you want, the type of crust you want, Palermo's is always going to have you covered. Palermo's has been doing this in Wisconsin for 60 years, so they know premium quality frozen pizza. Whether we're just talking about Palermo's or Urban Pie or Connie's or Surfer Boy Pizza or Screamin' Sicilian, those are just a few of the brands they have under the umbrella at Palermo's. Make sure you find them in your grocer's frozen food aisle. Palermo's. Flavor is our family's business.
If you're paying attention to the Davante Adams sweepstakes, and a lot of people are, Diana Rossini is reporting this morning in the Athletic's newsletter that the Raiders and the receiver want him to have a new home within the next 48 hours. So Davante on the move within the next 48 hours, the next couple days. So that means next weekend when teams are playing games. Davante Adams will no longer be a Raider. She says New York and the Saints remain the favorites. Steelers still firmly in the hunt. Chiefs and Bills aren't out of it, although Buffalo might be more willing to budge after Josh Allen's struggles this weekend. Gabe, where do you think Davante Adams lands?
I mean, I think it's got to be the Jets. I mean, especially after the way they struggled. Aaron Rodgers threw three more interceptions in London. Like, the Jets are already all in. Like, everybody's job is on the line. Who cares? Give up whatever picks you have to. You're all in. And by the way, I don't think Davante Adams puts them over the top. I mean, he certainly makes them better. But if you're the Jets, you got to be desperate. I mean, your job is on the line. He wants to be there. You got to find a way to make it happen.
Joshy, you got a vote. You got a guess. You got an idea of where you think Davante Adams ends up?
I think it has to be the Jets for the exact reason that Gabe explained. I do think the Saints are extremely live as an option just because Davante Adams seems to be addicted to subpar quarterbacking. So maybe that's
maybe
an option.
It's just a Derek Carr thing.
Yeah, it's just a Derek Carr thing. It's just not sub,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
He's addicted to Derek Carr.
There is
who,
a lot of dysfunction,
a subpar quarterback.
Though, guys. There is so much dysfunction still. You know, again, I try to give the Jets their flowers when they deserve them, but there is still some issues there, right? Like, there's,
and they're not going away.
And no, I don't, not anytime
soon. Devontae's watching that game like many of us were yesterday morning and going, yes, I want to go to there. I question his decision-making.
Probably should have when he decided to go to the Raiders out of all the options of where he could go.
It's Derek Carr. He loved him a long time.
He does love Derek Carr. Find someone in life that loves you the way Davante Adams loves Derek Carr.
Aaron Rodgers and Alan Lazard, Randall Cobb, you know. There's something there with those two guys in decision making.
Every target that Alan Lazard is currently getting is going to Davante, right? Like,
Alan's
getting some. The Alan Lazard targets
so
right now are based almost exclusively on familiarity. It's got to be, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he was a healthy scratch without Rodgers late last year.
Correct. So it's familiar. So, yes, maybe he'll mix it up a little bit, but I got to think that Davante is one, Wilson is two, Lazard, block.
Lazard's still going to get some targets.
I still think, and I said this on Around the Horn last week, I still think the Bills should be in the mix here. Davante Adams puts them over the top, and I said this on the show. If you've been competing every year and getting blown out, or knocked out, rather, by the Chiefs, Davante Adams is the piece that puts you over the top. Davante Adams will get you to the Super Bowl, win that AFC title game once and for all. I don't know how you look at it and go, price is too steep, can't afford it.
They're extremely deficient at that position. I know they just invested in Keon Coleman, but he's not ready to be an NFL go-to guy. He might be by the end of the season, but you know a good way to help you get there? One of the best receivers we've seen.
Correct.
You can learn
Josh
and grow from
Allen,
that. Yes.
Stephon Diggs again. But without the disgruntled part.
I mean, if I was rooting for a place for him to go, I think it would be Baltimore. I think Lamar and that offense, even though, I mean, they scored 38 points yesterday, or 41, however, whatever the final was there in the wild game in Cincinnati, you add a legitimate wide receiver to what they have there. Oh. And on top of it, he did, you know, put out the Instagram post of Edgar Allan Poe.
Who?
Edgar Allan Poe, you're familiar?
Unfamiliar.
The Raven, you might have heard of it.
He's a guy.
He's a guy. Very,
picked up on that.
Yeah, very, very famous poet.
Yes, I'm very familiar with Edgar Allan Poe, unlike some other people in the journalistic space who apparently struggled with that over the weekend. Quote the Raven, nevermore.
The Raven's mascot, his name is Poe.
I know. Listen, I know.
It's Poe.
I know Poe. Other people, not so much. Will D'Antosh is next on ESPN Milwaukee. Have a great one, everybody. It's Victory Monday. Green Bay Packers get the win.